Moncrief on News Talk.
So it is time for parenting, and Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
We'll start with a nice, easy one. No controversy in this question. My eldest daughter is 17 and really wants to attend Electric Picnic. She's young for her friend group, and the rest of them are all 18. She'll be turning 18 at the end of August, so she's not far off. She used a fake ID for nights out with her friends and wants to do the same for the festival. She's really not exaggerating this time when she says that all her friends are going. I don't want to exclude her, but at the same time, I'm apprehensive about the idea of her drinking in a field for 3 days and so far from home. Plus, she's the only one in her friend group that's still underage. She's completely trustworthy and has never been in trouble, so there are many external factors at play when at a festival. What should I allow her to do?
I mean, I don't want to answer that.
I can feel people now picking up their phones going, she's underage, and it's just that. Put the foot down.
But I mean, if you're going to be that concrete about it, and as a parent, if it is she's underage and that is the reason she can't go, then you know what? There's your decision made.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not how this reads, Sean.
No, not at all.
She will be underage by all of 2-3 weeks.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So my question to this parent would be, if Electric Picnic was on in September, would you have any pause of concern? Because if your answer is no, she'd be 18, I'd be fine with that, then actually that's not the issue that's going on here. This is really about, you need to talk to her. Like, bottom line, you have to talk to her about this. The festival is 18s and over, okay? So yes, she's a couple of weeks off, but you do have that. I'd put it to her like, okay, your fake ID, what if it doesn't work? What if you don't get in with your friends?
Then you've spent a load of money.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What is your plan for when you get stuck at the gates? Because if she's going, you do realistically need a plan like that. So put it to her and see how she reacts to that. If ultimately, and I am not making this decision for this parent, but if ultimately that she goes, certainly sit down with her and agree a safety plan. Because sometimes when you talk to your kids, particularly around this age, about a safety plan, you're raising things that they may not have considered.
Yeah.
And they can go, God, you're overreacting. But now that you've mentioned it, I do need to know those things. And I'm talking about, you know, sticking with your friends, not getting separated, watching your drink. If you put it down and you've turned your back on it, ditch it, get rid of it, don't drink it again. Don't do drugs, basically. Being sensible, but agreeing those kinds of safety plans, because what you're going to say to her is, look, exactly what you're saying to us. You're completely trustworthy. You've never been in trouble. That's why you're allowed to go. But because there are all of these external factors at play, I have to have a conversation with you about what if, because I do trust you, because it does seem like the parent trusts this child.
Mm.
But I don't trust the strangers that you're going to cross paths with. I don't
trust
the people who could have another agenda that you have no control over. So that's why I'm scared. That's why I'm worried. And I'd be keeping your phone on for the 3 days at the festival, day and night, because if she does need to be picked up, you might have a late night drive ahead of you. But ultimately, if you're listening to all of that and you're going, no, I just can't let her go, then you've got to own that. You've got to say to her, next year we can revisit it, but this year we're just not there yet. It's not happening. And put her out of her misery.
Yeah. It's the 3 nights as well.
Oh, it's
I wonder,
a long
can you
time.
Just say 1 night or 2 nights?
Oh, you
even,
could definitely.
You know? Because 3 nights, by the third night, you're destroyed.
My worry
and
is the ticket's
manky.
Already bought because this is late in the day. So, but no, absolutely. And a lot of people are ready to come home from Electric Picnic, weather dependent, after 1 night. So she might be glad of that, and give her that option, by the way. You can come home at any time. But yeah, I mean, if you wanted to say, look, you can go for the daytimes, but I'll have to pick you up. Part of her going, by the way, is going to be, I want to be with my friends. I want the excitement of camping. I want to do all those things. But if you're saying no, but just agree the parameters of that.
Yeah.
This is one of those, like, if you're asking for, can I get what I want, which is her not going without her being upset? The answer is no. So you're going to you're going to be anxious and she will go, or you're going to be reassured and she will be upset because she's not going. But there's going to be feelings around this either way. So you're just trying to make sure that you've given her lots of outs and let her know that she does need to check in with you. Not constantly, but she does need to check in with you daily.
Yes. Yeah. Also, it's no fun for the parents.
No.
I know, I felt this myself.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of go, well, I can't have a glass of wine tonight in case I'm called out.
100%. That's
when,
you'd be keeping your phone on. You'll be on alert. It's definitely all of those things.
So, bargain her down.
from three nights.
Yes. I can't have wine. That's the most important thing. My three-year-old son has always had a very close relationship with his grandmother, my mother, which I've always been delighted about. My mum is a great help and minds him quite often as I'm working single mother. Recently, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to separate my son from his nana when it's time to take him home. He throws tantrums and doesn't want to leave, telling me he loves nana more and wants to live with her. I understand he's just being a child and hasn't considered the weight of his comments, but I can't help from allowing them to hurt me. I wish I had the time and finances to stay at home with my son, but it's not a reality. Sometimes I feel like I can't do enough for him with the time I have. How can I stop these tantrums from happening?
I want to rephrase that last bit.
I want to give her a hug.
Absolutely. I want to say, how can I stop this working parent guilt?
Yes.
That's really what this is about. I mean, if you want to stop what he's doing and saying, and you know, this reminds me a lot, Sean, of when we get questions from parents of kids similar age saying, my child is showing preferential treatment to the other parent and choosing them over me. Because actually your mom is an attachment figure for your son here, and he's showing that. And a lot of the ways that you validate it, he's three and you say, of course it's hard to say goodbye to Nana. You love her. I love her. She's great. And we'll see her tomorrow. But tell me your favorite thing you did with Nana today, and you get him out the door. I mean, I know this parent knows this, but like, they're so lucky to have Nana, both of them.
Yeah.
You know, that he's so well cared for and he's so loved by the person caring for him while she's at work. And again, like, I know this parent knows that, but you're almost just reminding yourself that what's being activated here is your guilt that I wish I was the one he was choosing. I wish I was the one he was doing. And he is. He is going to do that. This will come full circle. And this is preferential treatment. It's a phase. But I am wondering if Nana could maybe be part of the solution here. You know, if before you arrive home, you give a call or a text, look, I'm leaving, I'll be approximately this time, that, you know, she's getting excited with him. Mom is nearly here. Let's look out the window and wait for your mommy and watching. Yeah. And, you know, that they have a song that they sing when mommy comes in and mommy drops everything and everyone has a dance and mommy's part of the fun. So that the reunification is more celebratory and everyone's involved, and Nana is kind of ceremoniously handing the child back, going, you dance over to mom and I'll see you tomorrow, and we dance to the car and off you go, but Nana's part of that. I think that would go a long way to helping everyone involved in this, to be honest. Because I think it's not, you know, you might think, God, how lovely for Nana to, but it's not. Nobody wants a child upset and distressed leaving and mom stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants that. So I think, have a dance when you come in, make it playful, but talk to Nana about how you're going to smooth over this. I would bet this is a phase, though.
Yeah.
And he's literally doing that splitting between,
sure,
she's been with me playing and reading stories all day. I'm choosing her because you're coming home from work. You're going to make me eat something and put me to bed. I don't choose that. So it's more I don't choose that activity than not choosing you.
Yeah. Also important to say to the parents, you're doing great.
Amazing.
You know, yeah. That's,
single working parent, you're doing, and everything you're doing is for him.
Yeah.
And you're not going to rationalize that with a 3-year-old, but ultimately it does pay off, you know?
Yeah.
And this is an investment in him long term. But no, you're doing amazing and great you have your mom.
My daughter is 15 and has recently become obsessed with showering. She has a shower at least 3 times a day, morning, afternoon and night before, right before bed. She does a full body and hair wash during each, which I've told her can't be good for her skin and her natural oil. She refuses to believe me and maintains that she's cleaner than anyone else in the house because of her routine. Which is probably true. She recently asked me to buy her moisturiser because her skin is so dry. And upon further investigation, I've noticed cuts and cracks in her hands because she's been washing them so often. What is this about? And how can I stop her from doing more harm?
Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there really isn't a threshold for the right number of times to have a shower.
Like, yeah.
You know, there, because so much of it depends on lifestyle, activity levels, the heat of where you are, the type of skin that you have, the type of hair that you have. Like, lots of people listening might be saying, well, I wash my hair every day. There's nothing wrong with that. And lots of other people are going, I do it once a week, twice a week. And
that's,
it works
true,
for me.
But three times a day.
And it's,
and she's not working
three
down
times a day.
The mines or anything.
And no, exactly. And washing your hair that many times is not good. I do think, though, when a parent says to a young person, you know, I don't think this is good for you. they're like, what do you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I think actually you have to pull in some evidence to support. You're right. Mm. This parent is right, by the way. But you have to pull in some evidence to support the worry. And mentioning, you know, sometimes it coming at it from a couple of angles, it's also wasting a lot of water from an environmental perspective. Mm. You don't need to be having that many showers every single day. Now, my issue, though, Sean, here, or question is, why is she having all those showers? Like, where did it start from?
Mm.
Is she concerned she smells? You know, has there been an increase in BO? Does she think it's dirt? You know, has she got a fixation on that? Is it that she's taken up a new activity, or, you know, she's been out in the heat more or on holiday? Like, what? Something has changed that has prompted this with her. And I'm curious about that, because I think what you might need to do is say to her, look, three is too many. We can agree to that. Can you pull back to a shower in the morning and the evening every day? So that's two showers a day, and washing your hair twice a week, three times a week, whatever the arbitrary, I don't know, the child or their hair or anything. But, you know, if you negotiate downwards rather than stop it, you're just not doing it. Showering once a day should be enough.
Yes.
Most of research doctors, dermatologists would say that, unless you've got very high activity levels and you're living somewhere very hot. Any more than that could well cause skin problems, is causing skin problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that kind of cracked, dry skin, you can then get infection, or you can get bacteria in that. So you're definitely going to be moving. I don't know what she's using to shower herself, but she shouldn't be using something like a loofah or a scrubby thing three times a day. Gentle soaps and a very good moisturiser. And a good moisturiser does not need to be an expensive moisturiser, by the way. You can get those tubs of emollient that you get in the pharmacy.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so don't, when I say get a good moisturizer, it doesn't mean a designer top end luxury moisturizer, just an effective moisturizer. And maybe bringing her with you into the pharmacy, and you might go in yourself first and just mention to the pharmacist, look, this is what we're dealing with. And if you told her, if she hears a message from you, it might land a bit better. Otherwise, you're going to end up down the road of dermatology referrals, because she is going to dry out her skin. Also, when she goes to the hairdresser, give the hairdresser a heads up just to do a little bit of a scalp exam and make sure she isn't washing natural oils out of her hair and doing damage to her scalp as well. So there are practical aspects to this that, yes, her skin and her hair needs to be taken care of, but get curious as to why she's feeling the need to be cleaner. What does she say? Cleaner than anyone else in the house?
In the house, yeah.
Why does that matter?
Is it obsessive?
It's sounding a little bit like it's teetering into something that's more compulsion-based.
Yeah.
I've got to do it three times a day. I've got to be the cleanest. I don't want any dirt on me at all. I would just want to pick that up now.
Yeah. If there's no, if she, you know, and if the parent does all these things and there's no sign of this behaviour abating,
I would be reaching out. I would be suggesting you go reach out to somebody in a mental health capacity.
Yeah.
Your first port of call might be best to go to your GP and just say, look, she's having all this dry skin, but all these showers, and I've noticed an increased focus on washing and quite an obsessive thought process about being clean, and not just clean, but the cleanest, and seek a referral. So that would either be to Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, so CAMHS, the state service, lengthy wait list.
Yeah.
If private referrals are within your scope, be aware you could be waiting a few months for private referral as well. But you'd be looking for a child and adolescent psychologist or psychotherapist who could assist with that.
My son has recently got his first girlfriend, and I'm appalled by the way that he speaks to her. He's 16 and has her over in the house quite often. She's a lovely girl and is always very chatty with me and my husband when she comes over. However, I've slowly begun to notice a change in my son's behaviour towards her, which is not acceptable. He's become dismissive of her during family discussions and constantly speaks down to her at the dinner table. This is combined with lots of scoffing and eye rolling when she tries to contribute to conversations. If this wasn't rude enough, I was walking past the sitting room last week and heard him call her a slut when it was just the two of them. I was absolutely disgusted by this. I called him out on his behaviour after the girlfriend had left. He's adamant that it was a joke, and his girlfriend knows that's the case. Joke or not, I'm mortified by this behaviour. I don't know how to get through to him that it's totally unacceptable. My husband has always shown me respect throughout our relationship, so I'm at a loss as to where he has picked up on this behaviour.
Oh, I'd come down on this heavy.
Yeah.
I really would come down on this one heavy. First of all, it's his first girlfriend.
Mm.
And I'm also wondering, does he know how to behave? around a relationship and around a girlfriend, yeah. And the way he might talk to his male friends and how he should talk and behave towards his girlfriend. He shouldn't talk to anyone, by the way, like this. But there's something in this, like, you called him out on calling her a slut after she had left the house. I'm going to suggest you call him out in front of her. I think she needs to hear also that this isn't okay. And while she's not, you know, your responsibility, he's your child. I think that when you say you've slowly begun to notice a change in his behavior towards her, ask him, when she's not there for this bit, but ask him how he feels about her, because it may be that he liked being in a relationship, but now he doesn't really want to be with her.
Yeah.
And he's kind of thinking about ending it, but he doesn't know how, and he's treating her badly.
He's being
and
mean
maybe
to her
and
hope she'll end it.
Yes. And that's kind of where my mind went. Is there something like that going on? And talking to him about respect carrying through into breakups as well, that you break up with somebody respectfully. You don't let yourself down like this, and you don't disrespect them. And to end the relationship. But it's really not okay. You have to nip it in the bud. You know, it's funny. I was reading something recently. It only came out quite recently in one of the journals, WHO, World Health Organization research, that estimates a very significant percentage, as high as a quarter, 25% of all 15 to 19-year-old girls have experienced intimate partner abuse, aggression, violence. And that means a quarter of young men in relationships are also doing this. And so this is really, really serious, because if an adolescent either begins a pattern like this or experience a pattern like this in adolescent relationships, it doesn't bode well for future relationships either. And, you know, the CDC, the Center of Disease Control,